What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Washington Post, within these last hours, David Ignatius reporting. American commanders have long believed that the Ukrainians waste artillery fire in crushing barrages that emulate Soviet tactics. By one U.S. estimate, the Ukrainians have fired about 2 million rounds of 155-millimeter artillery ammunition since the war began, nearly exhausting Western stockpiles. Stop there and go to Arif Rafiq of Globally News, because some of those 155-millimeter shells come from Pakistan. We know this because of an indiscreet remark made by the ambassador from the United Kingdom about military assistance offered by Pakistan to NATO, to Ukraine. And that assistance, now seen as perhaps not correctly used, is also trouble back in Islamabad. Arif, a very good evening to you. How much trouble and what does it look like? Good evening.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, you know, Pakistan's military support for Ukraine is something that's covert, and it's been going on since last year, and it's also controversial. So the army has been providing the Ukrainian military through third-party partners in the West, including the United Kingdom, with artillery shells. And as we know, the Ukrainians are just burning through firepower as they're trying to break through the Russian lines of defense. And so for the Pakistani military, the army, this support for the West in this new great geopolitical war has provided them with an opportunity to kind of develop a defensive mechanism and insulation against negative repercussions for its power grab, which it's been in the midst of since last year. And so this support for the Ukrainian war effort is very much tied to Pakistan's own domestic political challenges and the disputes that we've seen since last year. The Prime Minister Imran Khan, who was Prime Minister until last April, opposed taking sides in the Russia-Ukraine war. He wanted Pakistan to avail itself of the opportunity to import discounted Russian oil. It would reduce oil prices in Pakistan and also serve him politically. The U.S. and the West in general pressed him not to import Russian oil. And the army used that opportunity to pivot back to the West, ditch Khan, support a vote of no confidence that would remove him from power, and then bring in a new government that was seemingly pro-West. And the larger aim for the army was to secure its own power at home. And it's done so through political repression in Pakistan, but also trying to tilt back to the West, and specifically with respect to this Ukraine war.
Imran Khan, the former prime minister, remains detained, jailed for charges having to do with personal conduct. However, Arif, in his column at Globally News, highlights the fact that Imran Khan was in Moscow when the invasion was announced by Vladimir Putin. At that time, Khan responded iconoclastically for Khan, representing another way of looking at this. Khan, according to this report, said Pakistan was acting like the slave of the EU. What did he mean and how was it heard, Arif?
Well, you know, Khan had visited Russia on the day that Putin had announced the invasion of Ukraine. For Khan, it was an unfortunate coincidence. He had no awareness of this announcement, but the optics were terrible, and it looked as if he was endorsing somehow the Russian invasion. So subsequently, the envoys of the EU in Islamabad had publicly pressed him and his government to condemn the Russian invasion. And Khan responded quite defensively, and he addressed a public rally in Pakistan and asked rhetorically, "Are we your slaves?" referring to the EU. And that accelerated a downfall in relations with the West. So not just with the EU, but also with the United States, which had communications with a Pakistani diplomat, had essentially indicated that it would welcome Khan's removal from power through a vote of no confidence. So Khan had become essentially a persona non grata for the West as a result of his, what appeared in some, the view of some, to either be non-alignment with the West or a kind of a tilt towards Russia.
Public opinion right now, is there a way of characterizing it about Ukraine? Indifferent? Against? For? Is it... Is anybody asking that question in Islamabad?
I would say public opinion in Pakistan is largely indifferent to the Ukraine war. Most Pakistanis are consumed by their own personal economic challenges. Inflation hit close to 40% earlier this year, remains stuck around 30%. So while we're coming back towards that 2 to 3% range here, they're still stuck well in the double digits, and relief isn't coming anytime soon. The current caretaker government has been forced to increase electric power prices, and that is literally driving many ordinary Pakistanis to commit suicide. So for the average Pakistani, the Ukraine war is a European battle. They don't necessarily side with either country. And naturally, as human beings, they would probably sympathize with those who are victims of a foreign invasion, meaning the Ukrainian people. But in the end, this is a conflict that is taking place far away from them. And their most immediate challenges are economic. And they're quite, at this point, for many, they're quite existential.
The conversation between Washington and Islamabad, the conversation between the U.S. military and the Pakistan military, is that regular conversation? Is that agreeable conversation, or is there tension?
It's becoming more regular. So, you know, the two countries were longtime partners in the war on terror. Since the early Trump administration, the military-to-military communication had been reduced. But that is now being rekindled in part by a mutual desire to stabilize Afghanistan and counter threats there. And also, Pakistan's signaling that it wants to partner with the West, perhaps in covert ways through in Ukraine, and maybe overt ways in other ways. And the Pakistani leadership, the military leadership, wants to kind of balance between the West and China and Russia. And so they want to engage the West. And that is reflected in a rekindling of military to military ties.
So the opinion is that the 155-millimeter shells shipped to Ukraine, that was not a mistake. The mistake was that it was revealed.
Exactly. The mistake was that it was revealed, though I don't think necessarily the Pakistani military are averse to all that becoming public. They just don't want a backlash at home, because in the end, this is not, you know, the support of one country for another. It's the support of the Pakistani military for the Ukraine and the West, in exchange for securing its own capture of the Pakistani political sphere as well as the economy.
Final concern, just 30 seconds. Is Islamabad as informed as others that the possibility is that this caretaker government could go on indefinitely? Is that common knowledge now that the army could postpone the election?
Yeah, that is common knowledge now. And so ordinary Pakistanis have become very sharp, cynical observers of their own country's politics. They call a spade on publicly and on social media. And they're very well aware of, you know, they dissect the minutia of statements by Pakistani officials. And they very much see that the army is trying to lengthen the tenure of this caretaker government so that I can rule more or less directly for an indefinite period.
Arif Rafiq of Globally News. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.